Cao Dewang, a Chinese auto glass tycoon, has caused quite a stir by shifting part of his manufacturing empire to the United States and setting up a factory in Ohio. He says the reasoning behind his decision is very simple. That is to avoid hefty taxes and soaring labor costs at home. So this is big news recently that's got the attention of many people who work in the manufacturing industry and not. Since it seems to be sending a message saying that manufacturing is so expensive in China that the U.S. is actually a better option, more affordable for manufacturing. So guys, first of all, let's go through what Mr. Cao Dewang is saying. Do you think his argument holds any water?
Well, can I introduce some background?
Yes,
a larger
please.
Background, actually, since the collapse of the world economy, basically from the 2008 financial crisis, we know the U.S. suffered a lot because of the collapse of the financial sector in the Wall Street. And then President Obama came to office. One of his slogans is to revive the U.S. manufacturing. He talked about manufacturing bases, like 4 or 8 of them in the United States. But, you know, this is the end of his last year, basically, in office. You can see whether the efforts is successful or not. I think people have different ideas, but the efforts is ongoing. You can see is on the state level, actually. It's not, if not on the federal government level, it's on the state level. I personally met a governor, I forgot his name, from Kansas, actually. He was in China, basically wooing the Chinese business to invest in his state. One of the clothing manufacturing factory in, from Suzhou did do investment in his government, in his state. So Cao Dewang is the latest case. I think there are many more Chinese companies investing in the United States. It's not surprising, first of all. Secondly, and you see the Chinese investment in terms of the numbers of U.S. dollars in the United States is actually has surpassed the U.S. investment in China since 2015. So it's, you know, first of all, don't be that shocked. Chinese now invest more in the U.S. than the U.S. Does in China. That's the fact. And Cao Dewang is now somehow being highlighted here.
Yeah. We were just talking about before the show that Chinese investment in the U.S. and other countries is nothing new. And like Chengdua said, I recently also went to a press conference by the governor of Michigan.
That's right.
And he said, according to their official numbers, we know Michigan is the home of Detroit, which is a big auto industry base in the U.S. And since 2006, based on their official figures, manufacturing investment from China has exceeded $400 million in the past 10 years. So, of course, that's not as much as Mr. Cao Dewang here, who has invested $600 million just by himself in Ohio. So, you know, it's nothing new. But I think in this case, we're talking about why it's so surprising or so attention-grabbing in this case is that he's trying to make a point along with his investment, trying to tell people, hey, China is seeing some rising costs for manufacturer investors. And I think he's trying to make a point and make a statement by this big move.
That's really interesting. And I think you guys make really good points here with what Mr. Cao Dewang is doing here. What's interesting is not only is he making a business decision, and I've seen many other business tycoons making that business decision and delivering it silently. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows about it unless it's somebody in the industry. But he's here making a point loud and clear, and he's also showing his business insight and saying, why is this happening? And you guys should not be shocked by now. And I think in a way that move is, I cannot really come up with the reason of speculation of why he's doing this, but it certainly serves as a wake-up call for a lot of people, because 2 points he's making here. First is rising labor cost among other operation costs, which we will go into detail. And also, the second point is the part that I think is particularly a bit of a rude awakening for a lot of Chinese people. That is taxation on factories and companies in the private sector apparently is so hefty that it is driving these factories or tycoons with carrying part of their operation away. So would you guys provide me with some of explanation regarding those two points that he's making? Do you think it is correct in portraying what's happening right now?
I think it could be right. I'm not an expert on taxation, let's say, which is very complicated. I think most of us will, you know, discussing the issue. You have to be in industry, you have to be the person who pays the taxes, and you have a full understanding of how high the tax is. And because the Chinese taxation system is different from that one in the US. So, and also I would say, you know, he could be right. And I think if that's the case, and it's really about the Chinese government, the government should hear the wake up call and, you know, do something, revamping probably the taxation system, which is actually being reformed. We know the VAT, introduction of VAT, value added tax, you know,
yes,
to replace the commercial tax over there. The thing is, if you look at the again, big picture, the foreign direct investment in China for the first 11 months of 2016, so there's an increase of 3.9%, you know, less than 4%. So if you compare China and the US, both countries are the top two, actually top two foreign direct investment in the chart of confidence index for foreign direct investment. So U.S. number one, China number two. Obviously, the U.S. is slightly ahead of China in terms of attracting foreign direct investment. You know, of course, if you want to attract foreign investment, usually it's about your business environment, you know, climate, whether that is prone to doing business, about your taxation system, about your customer system, things like that. I think ultimately it's the competition between countries here, in the case between China and the U.S. Obviously, over the past 8 years, the U.S. government, federal government, and state government, they have done a lot to improve their commercial situation, to acclimate, to attract people from like China, you know, business tycoon like Mr. Saul, to do investment in their state, in their country. So understandably, somehow you can see there's a comeback from the U.S. side to win the hearts and minds of the business people from China. I think, if that's the case, if the business people are leaving China, say, you know, not individually, if this is a phenomenon, I think it's definitely the government should do something, you know, to review our policy, let's say, to review our policy, to review the situation, if there's anything we can do to improve and to attract actually more investment from other countries.
Yes, yeah. I think that's a really good point. And also, it's not just about keeping Chinese investment to some extent in China, but also attracting foreign investment.
Right.
I think that is definitely what the government should be thinking about. And right now, I think what's interesting is Mr. Cao Duowang provided this very sudden or immediate wake-up call, I think, for the industry, and more importantly, towards the government as well. And the public is chiming in as well with this interesting situation that apparently with manufacturing the sector, the profit margin can be so meager that it's only 5% according to Cao Duowang, that doesn't seem to be enough to keep the businesses here to some extent. If there are more lucrative offerings other places, then it's totally understandable that, you know, capital goes to wherever that is the most that fits the cost benefit analysis most proficiently. So here, I have the nitty-gritty, so I'll just offer a breakdown of the cost issue here for everybody to have a general glimpse on how expensive it has been of manufacturing here in China. As first of all, there is this issue of land cost, and in China, because land property rights only spans for a certain amount of time, 50 to 70 years.
Yeah. 50 years, yeah.
Yes, so if you buy land and put your factories there in the U.S. where you own land rights permanently, then that makes some sense. And also, logistics can be so expensive. The U.S. highway is free of charge, while China tolls Wow, of 5 cents a ton. So if you add that up, that's really quite a bit of more cost and cost
Above
of.
that, though, I think there are definitely toll roads in the US as well. Not everything is free, but
No.
comparatively speaking, I think China might be a little bit more expensive.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
I agree. Yes, like if you drive in the southern part of the U.S., actually most of the road are free. But if you drive in the northeastern part of the U.S., no, there are toll roads,
Yeah, the toll
obviously.
roads.
Yeah.
Not
Thank you so much for
all of
pointing
them.
that out.
Not all of them, but there are definitely
There's
fees.
always a risk if you try to generalize the situation. So, specific situations.
That's a really good point. Also, with generalization, I wonder if that is happening here with Mr. Saldo Wang's.
Yeah,
His
but
name is coming up so often, but he represents, maybe the auto industry or to
Yeah,
some
did we
extent.
mention what he does? He owns the Fuyao Glass Industry Group,
Yes.
which claims to be the biggest exporter of auto glass, glass for cars in the world. And the company reported nearly $375 million in profit last year, just in profit, which is pretty impressive.
Very impressive, and he's the supplier for loads of major car manufacturers like Volkswagen, and a lot of these car companies get their glasses from Mr. Cao's company. And when we talk about costs, there is also power. Electricity costs. That is really interesting that China is quickly catching up towards America.
In China, it is more expensive because in the U.S. you have this what do you call it, the fracking and the gas, U.S. oil and gas is much more abundant, and the production is basically the U.S. is gradually reducing the import of oil and gas from the Middle East. They are relying less and less like on Saudi Arabia because there's basically more than enough for the U.S. market to consume.
Yes, that's interesting. And also this year with the volatility of the oil market, actually fracking business has been taking a toll in the US. But I think this is the really interesting global setting here.
This is clearly a strong competitive edge the U.S. enjoys over China.
Yes, and when it
And
comes
few
to
people dispute that.
resources,
Yes.
yes, but what about labor costs then? Because this is the huge contention point for people, as people are saying that labor costs has been going so high and rising at such a unprecedented speed in China, and the labor cost is catching up, but not quite there yet, in comparison to the US. Do you think that's happening too?
Well, I was quite surprised by this whole story in general, because a few years ago, I started hearing about people along China's south eastern coasts who held manufacturing jobs starting to go home because a lot of this international investment, these investors started to withdraw their involvement in China because of rising labor costs. And this is a few years ago, but now, 2 or 3 years later, you're starting to see the cost is going, compared to the US, higher than the US, that, or maybe not higher than the US, but the total cost in this particular case is very surprising to me. Because when you think of the US or the West in general, you think about I'm talking about high labor costs, right? If you hire somebody to tailor your suit or to do something, you're really paying by the hour and it's a lot of money. And also, they have layers of taxes, and for China to be, comparable, it's very surprising to me.
Obviously in China, the labor cost is still much lower than in the US or European countries. But the issue is like it does increase year by year and province by province, basically. Again, big picture here. For the Chinese economy, which is transforming from relying heavily on export and manufacturing to service industry or tertiary industry, so you have to increase basically people's income. So people will become consumers. People can have this disposable income to spend money to spend. That's the consumption market. You want to build a huge, huge market of consumption. So that's the necessary process. You have to increase people's minimum wage, people's salary, and then of course, sometimes it collides with the worry about losing manufacturing jobs. But this is a process you have to go through. So this is very difficult to handle, I would say.
Yes, this is a really tough
This is the other
problem.
side of the coin that we're talking about,
Exactly.
because it's not necessarily a bad thing. If these workers and they just put in the long hours and don't get paid well,
No,
that's not a healthy
no
economy
good.
either.
No.
Right.
That's interesting, because is it really a bad thing? Or is it a good thing? I think that's what people or the general public, sort of the seat that we've taken immediately after this news burst out was, it's a bad thing because we're losing a competitive edge and also we're losing jobs, maybe to the US. Do you think, but do you think that claim has any truth to it?
Right, on the one hand, it is true that it is like manufacturing jobs, you're losing to the US. On the other hand, well, you say one of the complaints is about the rising cost of labor, which is not necessarily a bad thing. This is a necessary step for the Chinese society, Chinese economy, to develop itself into a mature economy. A mature economy, I mean, let's define that as a developed economy, right? And basically, the consumption or the service industry will stand for like 70 or above 70% of the GDP. Right now, the service industry contributes like more than half of the GDP. So China is transforming smoothly, but along the road there will be bumps. There will be
Oh, yeah.
problems. I mean, this is probably one of them.
Yeah. And then another thing I wanted to point out is that people say, oh, we're losing jobs to the US. In this particular case, Mr. Cao's factory, according to a local TV station in Ohio, where his factory is or will be based, once his investment plan is fully realized, it'll employ 5,000 workers. Which is great locally, but when you compare China and the US, 5,000 people, that's not a whole lot of,
No.
and of course this is just one case, but I don't think people really need to be worried about China losing jobs to the US. And again, he's a businessman, so he's making a business move. Some people have criticized maybe him for not being patriotic, but hey, this is business, right? You want international capital flow, you want a free market where people can make their decisions freely based on benefits and costs. And this is, as China matures and becomes a bigger international player, this is the opportunity that you want to afford both Chinese and international
We have
investors.
a good point, Victor. For people who criticize Mr. Cao for like escaping the motherland or escaping China, they are missing the point. It's not about that. Not about being patriotic at all. It's about doing business. He's a business people. He's a business person. He prioritized like profit making.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
that's natural. That's reasonable. There's nothing wrong with his remarks, his criticism. I think it's really about their choice. The business community, if they choose the U.S. over China, then there's a problem probably, and we should look at it carefully, closely. And if at the same time, some other companies are investing in China, are looking at the Chinese market of consumers, I mean, you have one competitive edge in part A, I have a competitive edge in part B, probably more or less we are all still balanced. Besides, he has his freedom to do investment everywhere in the world as long as it suits his needs.
Yes, it is so refreshing, and what a wonderful thing that I can hear these voices of
Reason?
rationalism
That's why we're here
and
on Boxing Day.
Unboxing Day.
when otherwise you could be
Every day.
shopping in the UK,
Yeah.
apparently. So yes, I think that's really interesting, and I do totally agree with you guys that yes, you can't just focus on one aspect. You need to look at a basket of factors before you jump to the conclusion that China is losing jobs to the US or vice versa, which is also the argument that we hear from well, certain, okay, let's just say President-elect Trump, which has really been
Right, this is a counterpoint to President-elect Donald Trump. He claims like the US is losing jobs to China. Things like Chinese investors are doing investment in the
Yeah,
US, creating
exactly.
jobs for the US market. So basically, the two economies are strongly interdependent. I think this is a good thing, actually.
Yes, I think as we're more connected and it's more globalized a world that we live in than some people might expect. But also, I think it's important that this discussion and also the news story itself serves as an alert for the Chinese government as well, to see that these private companies and, you know, big industries are facing significant problems when it comes to taxation and other ways when the business is being implemented here. And to make these businesses to flow, to work more smoothly, that is in the benefit of the country and the people who are the employees.
You're absolutely right, He Yang, here in saying that, you know, the Chinese manufacturing are under pressure. That's absolutely true. You know, like a 2008 financial crisis affects every country, developed countries, developing countries. So if you look at Arab Spring, that's really the outcome of the crisis. It's not about to say a democratic wave. You know, no, people. It's about jobs. It's about their life. Here in China, if you look at the private sector, because the global economy is still struggling, for the export community, they found it hard to sell more products. So their profit is coming down. Obviously, there's a heavy pressure on them. And also for the Chinese market, you see people pay more attention to environment protection.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, biting punishment if you breaks the law. And this is added, actually, burden on these manufacturers in China doing business here. So you have to look not only outward asking for better policies, but also probably inward about, you know, how can I improve my efficiency? How can I improve, maybe apply new technology to my new factory?
Yes, definitely. I think paying more attention to the environmental cost and also bringing more automation into the industry, that seems to be the big wave in manufacturing that all countries are experiencing right now. And it'd be interesting to see what kind of effect that will have on the manufacturing industry and where the Chinese manufacturing industry will go in the future. And yes, we're in a good time to be alive when so much things is going on, and you can probably make a change in this kind of era. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang.